Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk Podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, your Jam That Champion, the Tribal Pete himself. And I'm joined, as always, by my intangible co-host, the wise man, Tempest.
I am wise, and I am a man. And I am, what was the third thing you said?
The intangible co-host, Tempest.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yep.
It's a Simpsons reference, never mind.
How are you doing today, bud?
Oh, you know, we're getting into that WrestleMania time of year. You got to kind of plan everything well in advance and make sure everything's taken care of. So my brain's a little bit fried, but on the whole, I would say I'm doing well.
Good.
Preparation H does feel good on the whole.
On the whole. Well, I'm glad we're sprickly the same lingity. I wanted to talk to you, Tempest, about Pokemon.
Yeah.
Because we've already been talking about it in the DMs, in the chats for a little bit, because you messaged me. Because obviously it was last week, it was last Saturday's podcast, where I purchased Pokemon Legends Arceus during the podcast bits. And on NXT, I was like, Tempest, you have to get this game. It's so good. And you said, I'm getting it. It's on its way. It's now a few days afterwards. Have you got Pokemon? Have you been playing it, Tempest?
I have got Pokemon. I have been playing Pokemon. Look, you can see my Pokemon right here. That's my trainer ID. No, now there's Pokemon. Oh my god, they're fighting. Anyway.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Fun game. Very engaging.
Such a good game. It's such a good game. I haven't played as much of it this week as I'd like, but it's such a fun game. I'm not a completionist. I'm never really like, I have to 100% a game or anything. I feel compelled to complete this game. It's like, I need to get to research level 10 for every single Pokemon in that friggin' Pokedex.
Ooh.
It's good.
Good luck to you. That's
it's a
lot.
Good game, though, isn't it?
It's good, though. It's fun. I make catching Pokemon
so
fun.
Much fun.
Yeah.
What's your
I've just been like walking around and just like, I'm just going to wander. Maybe I'll find something.
Yeah.
That's all I need from a game like this.
It's fun to wander.
Yeah.
What a crazy concept for a Pokemon game. But what's your current team right now?
My what, sir?
Yeah, what's your current team right now?
Oh, my current. Oh, that's a good question. I don't even know. Let me see. Let me just pull this up real quick. My current team. Come on. Is Quilava, Eevee, Scyther, Monferno, Kadabra, and Golbat.
Nice. Nice.
Some of those might get swapped out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think I need two fire starters on my team, but...
No. Nah. And it's the same with me, because I've got Typhlosion and Arcanine right now. It's like, I don't need both of them. I just like both of them. They're cool. Yeah. I genuinely can't get over how good a game it is. Like, I just want to keep playing it all the time.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Because I know, like, I won't let myself go and play it for like 15 minutes because that 15 minutes will turn into 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like that. Easily. I'm just gone.
Yeah.
So I have to set aside my video game playing time now.
It's so frustrating. I just want to have like a day to just sit down and play, which to be fair is like the first day I got the game after on that Saturday evening after we finished the podcast. That was just, I'm going to play the game. Yeah. And it was the whole evening and it was great and I loved it. I can't wait to play it more. I think I might have an email or two, but let's get into talking into the main portion of this show to start with. And we'll talk about some more stuff afterwards. What?
No, you can't make me. I don't want to talk about SmackDown.
Well, unfortunately, sometimes we have to. But don't worry, I've got a little thing that will hopefully make us be a bit more positive about this show, but probably not. Let's talk about it.
He's back, Pete! Did you miss him so much?
Yeah, Goldberg is back in WWE, and he's fighting Roman Reigns for the Universal title.
What could go wrong?
Welcome to the Russell Talk Podcast, review of SmackDown and Rampage. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, your Tribal Pete, your Jam That Champion. Acknowledge, Pete. And I'm joined by my wise man, Tempest. Welcome to
I'm
the review.
Wise and I'm a man.
That is indeed correct. Send in your Ultra Chats to WrestleTalk.com/support. Going to read out all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. And the first thing we need to talk about is Goldberg. So, I'm just going to come out and say it. This episode of SmackDown was horrendous.
It was bad. It was real bad.
And, you know, listening back to my edited review that I did earlier on the main WrestleTalk channel, thought I was quite generous, actually, in that I said that it was going to be a 1 out of 5 show, but I really enjoyed the tag match that there was, the New Day versus Los Lotharios, so that was good fun, which might just bump it up to a 2. So I gave it a 2 in the end, but I feel like I should have given it a 1 because it was awful. This whole show was really bad. An example of why even something good on the show then has a negative asterisk next to it was this opening promo segment with Reigns and the Usos and Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman back alongside Roman Reigns. And this started off well. Paul Heyman came out and talked about his motivations as to why he sided with Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble and his kind of like character motivation through the whole thing. And what I really enjoyed about it, which is what I anticipated and what I read into it when it happened at the Rumble, because I think Ollie and Luke mentioned on their Rumble review, they were like, oh, it's a bit of a convoluted, weird plan though. Like, why did he even leave Reigns in the first place? I read it as this was a legitimate change of heart. Like, he legitimately did tell Reigns how he feel. He got fired. He sided with Lesnar, but he realized he wanted to go back to Reigns. And that's what he explained, is that, hey, no, I got fired by Roman Reigns. I got punched in the face. It was all great. But then I realized I needed to come back. At the Royal Rumble, I realized that, you know, I shouldn't have been protecting Reigns from Lesnar. I should have been protecting Lesnar from Reigns. He's the real deal. He's the guy that, you know, I want to hitch my wagon to, basically. And for me, that makes a lot of sense. It fits with Heyman's character motivation. It was a good explanation. It shows character development, even though we've ended up in the same place we started. It's still good. It's character progression. I enjoyed this part of the promo. I thought it was good.
Sure. I agree.
Yeah.
I don't really have any differing thoughts.
No.
It's just like, yeah, you know, I've been like mildly interested in the whole Paul Heyman, Roman Reigns thing and just kind of letting this one play out.
Mm-hmm.
It's playing out.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good. But then this whole segment deflated because I got a Goldberg puncture. Goldberg came out and said, I'm next.
Why? What clause does Goldberg have in his contract that gives him guaranteed title shots anytime he wants them?
I saw a comment on my edited review earlier that said, oh man, I didn't realize that Goldberg had an unlimited money in the bank contract. Which
pretty
was
much.
Pretty apt.
Yeah.
It's pretty apt. It is really bad. Okay, the thing is as well, is that Goldberg coming in and he said, I acknowledge you as my next victim. Sick burn, by the way. Yeah. The thing with Goldberg coming back is that every time he's come back since like 2020 or whatever, he's just walked into a title shot, right?
And he loses.
No story, no build, no nothing. He just walks in and he gets a title shot, which is real bad. The thing is, if he came in and got a title shot because he had earned one, it's still bad because I'm not interested in seeing Goldberg fight for a title, but at least there's a reason, right?
Sure.
And I feel like you could make a story out of this, especially because they were supposed to fight at WrestleMania 36. That match never happened. There's enough of a story there to make it happen. And he can come in and be like, I'm still owed that Universal title match that, you know, that we were supposed to have. And Reigns can be like, you know, no, you haven't earned it, you moron. And you complain to, you know, he's scared of Goldberg or whatever you want to have. And you can have something like Goldberg, you know, if you'd have done this, if you'd have set this up beforehand, if you had had longer time between the Rumble and Elimination Chamber, you'd have Goldberg, like, tormenting Paul Heyman until Roman Reigns relents and gives him the title shot, which shows that Reigns still actually cares for Heyman. You know, oh, it's a little bit of character development. It's something that's more than Goldberg coming in and just going, like, me. It's so bad. Goldberg being back and fighting for a title is bad in and of itself. But him coming in and just jumping to the front of the queue and just being like, title shot, is really bad.
Why did they book the Seth Rollins match the way they did?
Yeah, there was no Seth on the show. That whole thing is not followed up on. And Ollie was saying, oh no, I love that finish from Royal Rumble because it's definitely going to lead to something. No, Ollie, you fool! Of course it's not going to lead to anything. They just did it so they wanted Seth to win. And Roman to... They wanted to protect Seth.
Alright. I don't think I've ever been on a podcast in which I needed to talk about Goldberg. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've got a lot of fresh Goldberg thoughts for the content.
Yeah.
My Goldberg take is I don't think Goldberg is the problem. Because you can use anybody the right way. You know, mm-hmm. It's the same way that everyone gets pissed off that they're not using Ricochet, they're not using Chad Gable, they're not using Mustafa Ali, whoever. Name a million guys. They're not using them right. They're not using Goldberg right.
No.
And it's almost more baffling, because how do you mess up Goldberg? He's a big guy, and he beats people up. That's it. Start. Stop. That's the full character. You take, like, one really annoying heel every 6 months or so, and they get on everyone's nerves. And then, you know what? Oh, Goldberg's here. He's going to kill him. Put it on pay-per-view. I'll watch it. I was there for him versus Dolph Ziggler. And it was good. I loved it. Everyone loved it because they did it right.
I think that's the one time they have used Goldberg correctly since his WWE return.
It's just, like, baffling to me because it's so, like, simple. You don't need to do crazy big plans. You just take an annoying heel that can take a loss. And you put them against Goldberg, and Goldberg kills them. Like, how have we not gotten Goldberg against Baron Corbin or The Miz or whoever? You know? It's not that hard. They're, like, it's complicating matters.
Yeah. It's very stupid. I'm not excited to see Goldberg back. I'm not excited to see Goldberg versus Roman Reigns. It's an Elimination Chamber. It got made official, by the way, later on the show. They just said, it's official now. Great. How the hell did that come to pass? I'm not even going to question it. Like, they just said, it's official now. It's going to be Reigns versus Goldberg at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Great. Cool. Can't wait. It's going to be real bad.
I'm, like, morbidly curious.
Goldberg versus Sami Zayn. That's what the chat is saying. Yes.
Yeah.
Do that. I mean, I'd still be sad because I love Sami Zayn. But he's totally a guy who could take an amazing bump for Goldberg. It's perfect. Yeah.
It's
so depressing.
Funny. It's not funny. It's depressing. It's I don't understand it, but it's funny because in 2020, I was like the one guy. I was like, I kind of want to see Goldberg like beat the Fiend. I just want to see it. I want to. I'm on the side of chaos. I would be a lot more upset if he beat Roman Reigns compared to the Fiend.
Really? But that,
oh yeah, I did not care about the Fiend at all. The Fiend lost me after like SummerSlam when he debuted.
Oh, the Fiend's peak was there.
Never been a fan of the Fiend. Regardless, this would be something. You build up Roman Reigns for a year and a half and you give it to Goldberg. That's chaos. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an agent of chaos, that's the timeline. Madness. How are we here again? It's like deja vu. It's the same part of the year. They're going to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen again, isn't it?
I.
This weekend is going to wake up on February 19th or whatever it is. He's going to be like, you know what? Goldberg today. And then Goldberg's going to beat Roman Reigns clean in like 3 minutes. It's going to be the craziest thing we've ever seen.
And then you get Goldberg versus Lesnar at WrestleMania, what everyone wants, right?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no. I can totally see it happening.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's totally plausible. I'm not giving WWE any benefit of the doubt ever. Mm. Ever again. Yeah. Ever. They can't mess up anything.
Oh, my God. So, Timson and I were talking about this. We were talking yesterday, and I came up with a bit because both of us have been a little bit obsessed with Pokemon lately, right? And we're also well known for being quite negative towards WWE shows because they
what?
Suck.
No, never.
Yeah.
Never.
So I said we should come up with a little bit where what we could do is we could force ourselves to say something nice about WWE. And as a little reward, we could very quickly then just go and catch a Pokemon on Pokemon Legends Arceus. And we could make it very quick and it'll be a little bit for us to be a bit more positive. We chose a really bad week to make this happen. Because this show sucked so much more than normal.
Yeah. This was a bad one.
Yeah. You know?
And like, I didn't get angry watching anything on the show. I was like, it's just a bad show.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a bad show. Bad SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth getting worked up over. I say as I will inevitably get worked up. 100%
be getting worked up over it later. Minutes. Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We'll be right back.
Let's get into some of your Ultra Chats now. See what you guys think about Goldberg.
Gorg.
Liam Leonard comes in to say, "Hi guys, I hope you guys are well after this episode. This is just painful to watch live. Watching the exact same matches and results is just no way to book a show, and I just question my sanity watching the show. F this effing company. Back to Yu-Gi-Oh, please."
Oh, where is it? It's over here. Hang on. I got it. I can't pick it up, but I got it. It's Braun Breaker, the Magical Warrior.
I had to fight for that one.
Jesus.
It wasn't readily available like last time.
Nope. But yes. The report from Fightful Select earlier this week, Luke messaged me about this morning, actually. Because Luke messaged me to be like, "That show sucked." I was like, "I know. It was real bad." Yeah, and he was saying, he was correct in saying, like, the report from Fightful saying that, you know, outside of four people, nothing matters.
Oh, yeah.
That is SmackDown. They care about Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar and now Goldberg.
Yeah.
And that's it. They do not care about anything else or anyone else. And it sucks.
Man, like, Fightful Select puts out, like, this is the card for SmackDown, basically. This is the internal sheet. This is what's happening on SmackDown. And I always look at it, and I was like, oh, God. Because it's always Natalya versus Aaliyah. Baron Corbin and Madcap Moss are interrupting some segment.
Yeah.
It's terrible! Who could put this on paper and be like, yes, that will go to air? I don't get it. I don't get it. Have some pride in your work. God damn. Or sell the company. Either way, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Take pride in your work or sell the company.
Yep. Charles Berg said, so happy to
I
see
blow
Goldberg
my nose
back.
At you, WWE.
I didn't mute my mic for that reason.
Charles Berg said, so happy to see Goldberg back. Yeah, he may be 70 years old, and yes, he is a garbage wrestler, and sure, he gives off the vibe of a major diva, and I know he's taking spots for more deserving people, and he's a bit of a... It's asterisk, so I don't know. But I forgot my point. I agree, Charles Berg.
Can I get, like, one match that I want with Goldberg? Like, give me the Riddle match or something.
Yeah.
Give me something a little more inspired.
Mm-hmm. Bazo Banks. And I don't even want to get started with Oldberg. Like Sasha said on the Broken Skull Sessions, you can bring in the outside names, but you should be paying the talent to do what they're doing. You have the talent. What's the problem?
Ugh. That's a great question.
Mm.
You know? Like, I don't know that they have the argument now, whether they have the best roster or not, because I think AEW has them edged out. But until recently, that I don't think that was the case. There's no reason a roster this good should be putting on shows that are this bad.
Yep. Carlos Ocano said, first time doing this. Thank you. You guys are awesome. I'm so happy WWE is seeing what AEW is doing, pushing the young talent, and WWE does the same by pushing young and upcoming wrestlers like Goldberg and Johnny Knoxville.
Johnny Knoxville was like the one highlight of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
He threw one punch, and I was like, cool. I'm sold. Johnny Knoxville.
Hey man, that one elbow strike was real good.
Yeah.
Was nice.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
We'll get into more of your
Ultra Chat. What's that? Hey, we liked something in the Royal Rumble. That's the WWE thing.
Catch
a Pokemon.
Yeah, catch a Pokemon. I did not think about doing this with the championship on my shoulder. It's real awkward.
Uh-huh. Why am I crouching?
There's an Abra in front of me.
Where are the Pokemon?
Abra are really hard to get.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Go.
Catch.
Come on.
Got it. Got a Wurmple.
I got an Abra. Hell yeah. That's the first Abra I got.
This is how Pokemon takes over WrestleTalk.
Nice. I'll take it. Hey man, if we're positive about WWE, we get to catch a Pokemon. That's the rule. Anyway, it's time to stop being positive because let's talk about the rest of SmackDown. Real quick, though, I just wanted to point out because I saw Luke in the chat earlier. I now have my championship back, as you can see, your new Gen-Lite champion. Thank you. The Royal Rumble. That's great. But The thing is, Luke had this title that he stole from me by using the Jam in the Jar. He had it from Survivor Series all the way to Royal Rumble and didn't defend the title once. Right? Now, for me,
Lesnar.
For me, that's some BS, right? If you got a title that looks this good, you should be defending that, right?
Sure.
So, just to be fair, you know, I'd love to defend my title. I'm a fighting champion. I love defending my belt. But just in the interest of fairness, with Elimination Chamber coming up in a couple of weeks, I just don't think I'm going to defend it there. Luke took day one off. I'm just going to take Elimination Chamber off. I think that's fair. If he can get away with not defending his belt, I don't think I'm going to defend my belt. I think that's easy enough. That seems fair.
Hey,
right?
I skipped a Quizlemania.
Yeah.
You can do it.
It's totally fine, right? So I think we'll just skip Elimination Chamber. That's fine, right? Don't need to worry about it past that. I'll just keep a hold of the belt until Revolution or WrestleMania or past them because I'm going to keep winning. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into reviewing the rest of this episode of SmackDown.
Let's get through it quick so I can banish this memory from my brain.
Okay, so the last 3 weeks, Sheamus and Ridge Holland have beaten Ricochet and Ricochet and Cesaro, respectively, for the last 3 weeks. So this week, we had Ricochet versus Ridge Holland.
Uh-huh.
Ricochet won.
Wow! A babyface won! Cool, that's the end of the segment. I'm happy.
After an ad break, it was then a tag match of...
Oh. I'm sorry.
Ricochet and Cesaro versus Ridge Holland and Sheamus. And it was the same as last week. Ridge Holland pinned Cesaro again. Why? Why?
I don't know. I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. I don't know where any of this is going. They don't know where it's going. I don't know that it's going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere.
You know? Yeah, they just bunch people together and watch them kind of walk around each other.
I don't... Like, Ricochet just won. And pinned Ridge Holland. And then after an ad break, unexplained, it was just a tag match now. And then... Yeah, Ridge Holland just pinned Cesaro. Like, it's just the same as last week. Who cares? Like,
did you know, Pete? Because I mentioned this in one of my YouTube videos. Over on Tampa Slice Wrestling.
Yeah.
Subscribe. In my video talking about Roman Reigns and how they're doing a really good job with Roman Reigns, I talk about how that extends to the people that he's feuding with, and in particular around that tie with Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
And with the exception of the Elimination Chamber, where everyone gets pinned or submitted or whatever, Cesaro had not lost a match since before the Royal Rumble. He just won all his matches, got a title shot. He hasn't won a match since May. What the hell is that about? What the hell is that about? That is unacceptable. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's Cesaro.
Yeah.
God damn.
I don't know, man. After that.
Yep.
Got Jimmy Uso versus Eric of the Viking Raiders. Hey, it's a fresh matchup because they've got a tag title match at Elimination Chamber. This match went... Literally, I timed it 1 minute and 20 seconds, and Jimmy Uso won.
Nice.
Whoop-dee-doo.
You know what I always think is funny? This man's ring name is Eric.
Yep.
That's going to go on the marquee of WrestleMania.
Yep.
I don't know if it's better or worse than Ivar.
I think it's worse. Ivar at least sounds like Viking-y, you know?
Sure.
Eric's just
a name.
Eric.
Oh, yeah, it's my buddy Eric.
Yeah. Anyway, made the Viking Raiders look like great legitimate challenges to the tag titles, I'm sure, by losing in a minute. And then, Tempest. And then, we got a recap of Natalya and Aaliyah from 3 weeks ago. And then, we got a recap of Natalya and Aaliyah from 2 weeks ago. And then we got Natalya versus Aaliyah from this week. And next week, it's going to be Natalya versus Aaliyah.
I don't... I am not like a confrontational person. I try to avoid conflict.
Yes.
If someone came to me and said Aliyah versus Natalia 4 weeks in a row, I would probably inflict harm upon them. I would probably punch them. Just be like, what are you on about? Why? Who thinks that this is what fans want to see? God, there's like one Natalia fan out there that's like losing their mind every week. It's like, oh, she's going to get Aliyah next week. Got to tune in. Got to see it. Ah.
Yeah.
Shout out to my two Canadian girls. Two Canadians are wrestling on SmackDown. That's cool.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Aliyah won via count out in this one, by the way.
Yeah.
They got to like a count of 9 and then Aliyah chucked Natalia into the barricade and then rolled in and then celebrated by going like... I won! Oh my god! It's like, you're a wrestler. You win. Yeah.
You won should before. Be used to winning. You don't want you to be a loser. Oh, nice. Man.
And then later on, there's a backstage segment at Tali was like, I need another match against Aliyah. And they were like, okay. So, getting that again.
It's like, okay, please, Natty, just leave us alone. We don't care.
Yeah. We then got a little backstage segment where Drew Gulak and Shotzi were seen backstage together. Don't know what that's about. And then Drew McIntyre walked past them. And on commentary, Pat McAfee went, is that Drew Gulak with Shotzi? And then Michael Cole went, is that Drew McIntyre? Like, yes. Why are you confused about that? It's quite clearly Drew McIntyre. He's walking at the camera. You can see him. It's little things that annoy me, Tempest.
Yeah, it's whatever Pat McAfee. That is his name. I wanted to call him Matt McAfee. It's when he gets himself really riled up. I'm just like, please.
Yeah.
Turn it down just a little bit. You know? Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah. But then Drew McIntyre came out for an in-ring promo. We saw the recap. I didn't count how long all of the recaps were on this show. It might be the longest
one
that there's ever been.
Yeah.
Because this was insane. There was a recap of Drew getting attacked by Corbin and Moss. He then came out in the promo and essentially said... Came second in the Rumble, but that doesn't matter right now because I really don't like Corbin. Which is just
What's a WrestleMania title shot compared to beating up Baron Corbin?
It's so insane. It just makes it look completely... Like, the Men's Royal Rumble was not received very well. It makes it look like even more of a joke when the guy who came second, who came this close to winning, getting a main event title shot at WrestleMania, is just like, ah, I care more about Corbin right now. It's really frustrating.
I'm going to be so sad watching Drew McIntyre face Baron Corbin at WrestleMania.
Please don't.
Like, that's going to be his WrestleMania match. And I'm going to be so sad.
Yeah.
Oh.
He makes Madcap Moss tell a joke at sword point. He's pointing a sword at him and makes him tell a joke. And you know what? It's probably the best joke that Madcap Moss has done. That doesn't mean it was good.
Yeah,
and then he hits him with a claymore, not the sword, the move, and then
he's got to hit someone with a sword eventually.
Eventually, right? He's got
to carry a sword. Someone needs to get impaled eventually.
Yep. We got confirmation later that it is going to be Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss at Elimination Chamber. Can't wait.
What a pay per view match! Sorry, a premium live event match.
Yep. Sami Zayn gets thrown off the Jackass premiere. We got a little video clip of that. Sami's with Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville. Says he wants an Intercontinental title match, which he's getting in 2 weeks. Then that's when Natalia came in and said her thing about Aliyah. Cool. Glad that Sami's getting his title shot. I need
to know how all this works. Like, how does the kayfabe booking process work?
It doesn't.
You know? It doesn't, but yeah. I want to know what Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville do when they're not standing side by side in their one little corner of their office in front of a camera. Like, what are they doing during the day? I don't know. Maybe they're like NPCs. Turn off the camera and stop existing.
Yes, that's what it is. They're NPCs. 100%. Boogs' guitar didn't work. For the entrance, which is getting Kimura.
This show needed more things to go wrong.
Not even that bad. I just found it quite funny.
Yeah.
And then Nakamura faced Jinder Mahal in a championship contenders match, despite the fact that Nakamura already has a number one contender.
Yeah. I thought of you when I saw that.
Mm.
I'll be honest.
And then Shinsuke won in a couple minutes against Jinder.
It's better than Jinder winning.
True. It is better than Jinder winning.
Oh, he finally got his win back from SummerSlam.
Oh, great. That made it worth it, you know? Yeah. I can't believe that we're getting Shinsuke Nakamura versus Sami Zayn, and I don't care.
Yep. I think I said exactly that like 2-3 weeks ago, where I was just like, I rewatched TakeOver Dallas recently, and that match is like magical. There is like an essence in the air. There's like fairy dust in the air for that match. Now we're getting it on SmackDown. I don't care. It's heartbreaking, really.
Mm.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. So this next section of the show was unbelievable because it was nothing happened for ages. There was 12 minutes, exactly 12 minutes of actual SmackDown programming and also two ad breaks, right? On top of that. So ads, few extra minutes on top of that, right? For each ad break. What we got in that time was two backstage segments. That's it. Unbelievable.
Like, because I went to like sports broadcasting school. That's what I did, you know. They teach you how to time out a show. If you're light on a wrestling show, give the matches more time. Why is that a difficult concept?
I don't know, man. Like, okay, just to run it down, what happened, right? The bell goes.
I don't think I want to see Jimmy Uso versus Eric for longer than a minute. I don't think I want to see Natalya versus Aaliyah for more than a minute. So pickings are slim, Jinder and Shinsuke, but still.
I reckon Jimmy and Eric could put on a half decent match. I think they're pretty good.
Yeah.
But good God. So the bell goes for Jinder Mahal and Shinsuke. Shinsuke wins. He's taunting Sammy on commentary. Okay. Cut to a recap of the opening promo between Reigns and Goldberg. Then it gets made official. It's Reigns versus Goldberg at Elimination Chamber with the graphic. Great. Then we get an ad break, I think. And then we get an ad for WrestleMania saying it's X amount of days away. Then we get a video recap of Naomi and Sonya Deville's feud at the Royal Rumble. And then we get the backstage promo where Naomi comes in and Sonya Deville says it's going to be Naomi versus Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's Championship next week. I'm sure that will go great. Then we get a video package of Goldberg, because that's what we really need, is time spent on who's Goldberg. And then the New Day come out for their match against Los Lotharios. But then it cuts to a video package of Bianca Belair interviewing an Olympian. I forget who. Sorry. It was for Black History Month. And then there was another picture recap of the Royal Rumble. And then we get confirmation of Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss at Elimination Chamber with the graphic and everything. And then Natalya has a backstage segment and says she's going to tell Aaliyah about her match next week, but then she chickens out after Xia Li comes out of the women's locker room. And then Los Lotharios come out. There's a second ad break somewhere in there as well. Like, how?
How does
that get written down?
Yeah, who writes that down? And like, that has to get past people. That has to be seen by multiple people. I don't get it.
I don't understand. I do not understand how that can pass. You have two backstage segments, which are basically nothing, right? And you have one entrance for the New Day. Going on to Los Lotharios, they then made their entrance. Not even in an ad break. They just made their entrance straight after, before they even got into the match. Like, this was... Nothing happened! I can't say it enough times that nothing happens on this show. It's just... Yeah. It's nothing of substance. It's just recap packages. That's it.
Imagine paying to go to SmackDown. I can't imagine buying a ticket and going to SmackDown. You're to see Natalya and Aaliyah. And then backstage segments for 15 minutes.
God.
Oy vey.
Unreal. Unreal. I was feeling so mad at this show, right? Real mad at this show. And then they had the audacity to put on a good match. All right. How dare they? How dare they put on a good match? New Day versus Los Lotharios was really fun. I really enjoyed this match. Because it just came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting anything out of this match. I was expecting to go a couple minutes and have New Day win, sure, whatever. They had a proper good match. They told a story. Yeah. They had really fun action. They had a climactic finish, loads of near falls towards the end. I bought a couple of the near falls as the finish. I thought it was really, really good stuff. And New Day won in the end with the Midnight Hour. It's a really fun match. And then
that's all you need.
And I was like, you guys know how to structure a match. Do that more. Like, this is fun. Do more of this stuff. It was a really good match.
Yeah. It was a really good little match. I like everyone involved. Everyone did a good job.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, just do this. You know, like I remember there was some podcast I did with Ollie where we were reviewing Dynamite. I forget when it was exactly, but there was some tag match during the show. It might have been the Arne Anderson Glock show, actually, because I think it was like Cody and Lee Johnson against FTR or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a perfect 3-star match.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect for TV. There should be no reason you can't have at least one of those on your show like every week. Yep. Just send a couple guys out there to wrestle for like 12 minutes. You don't need to smoke and mirrors bedazzle this. Just put some wrestling on your wrestling show. It's easy. Easy concept. Yeah, you know, exactly. It doesn't need to be complicated.
No,
it really clearly, doesn't. You know, because we got this match. Like, this is a good example of it. You know, just do this more often.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Tempest,
yeah,
it was a good match. That means we've been positive about WWE. It's time for some more Pokemon. We get to catch something because we said something nice.
Catch another Pokemon.
There's another Abra. I think I'm going to try and get it. Oh, no, he's gone far away from me.
I'm suddenly nowhere near any Pokemon. What is that? What is that? I think it's a Weasel. I've got a shiny Weasel, by the way, from a Pokemon master and everything. Oh, what was that? Oh, my God. What is that? Is it a Ponyta? I think it's a Ponyta. Yeah. I haven't worked out trajectory in this game yet.
What the? I'm trying to catch a Sabra. And the balls just keep bouncing off of him.
Oh God.
Okay. There's an Alpha Staravia.
This isn't going well, guys. I gotta be honest. I might have to tone down the positivity a little bit. I'm not.
God.
Oh dear.
All of the balls are missing. This is bad.
Pete, why are you bad?
Hold on. I'm gonna have to get over here into a different patch of grass, see if I can catch this Weasel. I think it's just gone down to sleep.
You can't see it at all because there's a glare. But come on. Whatever.
Nope.
I tried. I didn't even catch it. I've given up.
What were you trying to get?
I was trying to catch a Drifloon or something. It was like a little 6 and it wouldn't get in the ball.
I have just found a sleeping Weasel, so I'm gonna.
Aw.
I got him. Stupid Weasel. Why are you taking a nap, idiot?
Welcome
to the real world. Anyway, hey, we were positive about a thing. Then after that, of course, I was like, okay, good match. Maybe the show can turn around. Then we got a recap of
Drifloon.
I will take your word for it.
I caught it. I did.
I couldn't see it.
I promise.
Yeah. We got a recap of the Women's Rumble and Ronda Rousey, which just was when, oh, right, okay, yeah, never mind. Then Charlotte Flair came out for the main event segment. This segment was real bad.
Oh, yeah.
For many, many reasons. So.
I didn't get mad at anything on this show. This was the closest.
Yeah.
I was just like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. So, Charlotte Flair came out. Sonya Deville joined her in the ring. Sonya Deville then said, Ronda Rousey has chosen Becky Lynch for WrestleMania. And I went,
according to who?
Yeah. And I said, that's a really anticlimactic way to announce that. That's weird. And then,
do the match. That's how you announce it.
Yeah.
No swerve. That's how you do it.
Yeah. And then And then she says that Charlotte Flair, after she beats Naomi next week, because Naomi's getting a title match, she gets to choose who she wants for WrestleMania. Which, now correct me if I'm wrong, that was the prize if she won the Rumble, was she was going to be able to pick her opponent for WrestleMania, because she's the champion going into the Rumble.
Yeah.
She didn't win. Spoilers. She didn't win the Rumble. So why is she now being given the power to pick her opponent for WrestleMania?
It's a great question there, Pete.
Yeah.
Great question.
Yeah. And I
the show is terrible.
I shouldn't need to explain to anyone why that's really bad storytelling. Yeah. To say you're going to do a thing, if you win, you lose, and then you do the thing anyway. Yeah. That's real bad. But turns out this was all part of some whatever, because Charlotte then says, well, I picked Sasha Banks. And everyone went, wait, what? Okay. Again, really anticlimactic way to announce that. No Banks here or anything. It's just a strange... Sure, whatever.
Where's Sasha? Where's Sasha in all this?
She wasn't there that week.
I'd go right to the ring. I'd sprint. I'm getting there before they change her mind.
I was very confused. I didn't buy any of this for a second, by the way, because I knew they'd announced that Ronda was here. They'd announced that Ronda was coming out. So I was like, okay, so it's going to be Ronda versus Charlotte then. So I didn't buy any of this at all. But Charlotte said she picked Sasha Banks and she was going to beat her at WrestleMania. And then out comes Ronda Rousey, and after her promo on Raw, where she said she hates all the fans and she hates everybody and everybody sucks, she then comes out all smiles, high-fiving fans down to the ring. Why?
Yeah.
Sure. Yep. Ronda's the babyface in this feud. Uh-oh. She comes down and says, actually, I choose you. Pokemon reference. I choose you for WrestleMania. Charlotte. And then Charlotte says, the title's my baby, and my baby is cuter than your baby.
Got her.
Sick burn.
Burn.
So then Ronda takes off a jacket looking like she's going to fight. Sonya Deville then steps in and says, actually, I run the show. You don't run the show.
Ooh. If anything's going to get me pissed off, it's this. She is Stephanie McMahon in a new form. Yeah. Everything's about me. Yeah. The authority figure that never wrestles.
Yeah.
Piss off. I never want to see an authority figure on a wrestling show again.
See, but the thing is, though, Tempest, at the very least, the thing is, okay, I'm going to explain what happened first. Sonya Deville then got her comeuppance, quote unquote. She tried to get involved. For some reason, she then tried to attack Ronda. All right, sure. And then Ronda laid her out, right? She hit her spinny Samoan drop thingy, whatever. But even when this authority figure gets her comeuppance, it's still bad because she had her jacket on. And they literally, they clarified, they made a whole thing about how people can't touch her when they have a jacket on. They've just made Naomi look like an idiot because Ronda, she could have just beaten her up this whole time.
Yeah.
Like,
so what I have taken away from this segment is that Ronda Rousey is a star and Naomi is a punk.
Correct.
Naomi is just the biggest punk in WWE. Yes. You've been letting this woman do this to you for 6 months? You've done nothing? And Ronda Rousey walks in the first day. Someone steps to her and she like, I'm just going to tear your arm off.
Yeah.
Because it's a star. That's what Stone Cold Steve Austin would do. Book every babyface like they would be Stone Cold Steve Austin. If Stone Cold Steve Austin wouldn't do the thing that you're booking your babyface to do, don't do it.
Yep.
That is the philosophy.
I don't know, man. Like,
yeah.
What? Okay, so we got to the end goal of it's going to be Ronda versus Charlotte at Mania, which I think a lot of us called. You know, people were saying that it's going to be Ronda Becky. Lol. Why would it be? We want that. I'm not excited about the prospect of Charlotte versus Ronda. I'm not excited about Reigns versus Goldberg. I'm not excited about Drew versus Madcap Moss. I'm not excited about anything on this show, really.
How about the Usos and the Viking Raiders?
They might have a good match. They might have a good match, but this did nothing to build for it with their 1 minute, 20 second encounter between Jimmy and Eric.
Yeah.
Also, what was the point of that entire segment of Sonya being like, she's chosen Becky, and then Charlotte being, I'll choose Sasha Banks? What was all that about? Like, what was it for? If Ronda's just going to come out and be like, well, I'll choose you for Mania, what was the point in saying all of that before? I don't understand. This show was bad. That's how it went off the air. That was the whole show. I liked 1.5 things on this episode. 1.5.
What was the half?
The opening promo. Heyman's
promo. Oh, right. Yeah.
And then Goldberg came out and it got bad. But Heyman's part of the promo was good. And New Day versus Los Lotharios was good. Everything else sucked. This was a bad show.
This was real bad. This is like nothing on this show was like super offensive to me until the main event, you know? Mm. Like, insulting my intelligence? Because we've had shows like that before.
Mm.
So, like, I don't want to say that, like, this was one of the worst SmackDowns that we've reviewed. But
it's pretty bad.
It's a different kind of bad.
Yeah.
It's, like, so uninspired. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine putting this on a wrestling card and being like, oh, that's the show.
I'm genuinely curious, because I haven't gone back and looked at it. I'm genuinely curious as to how much of this is actually new content and how much of it is recaps and ad breaks, ads for 2K22, ads for WrestleMania, ads for the Royal Rumble. Like, how much of this is actually new content and how much of that new content isn't a repeat from last week or previous weeks? Like,
I was about to say, I thought you were saying like they just aired the last Natalya Aaliyah match. And expected no one to notice.
They could have, you know. Jesus. This
1 out of 5, bad show.
Yep. I gave it a 2 minutes to review. I was too nice. It's a 1.
Let's talk about Rampage. The better show.
Let's talk about Rampage. Yeah. That show was big ass. That one, that whole show sucked a lot of ass. Let's talk about Rampage, which didn't suck as much ass. Man.
Some parts of it kind of, I don't know if it sucked, but this is a bit of a mixed bag to me.
This was a mixed bag of a show, yeah. So it started off with Adam Cole versus Evil Uno. I will always pop for an Adam Cole entrance. He's great. He won very quickly against Evil Uno. Everyone expected Cole to win, obviously. But I don't think anyone expected them to win. Something that AEW's done quite a lot is they very, very, very rarely do like squash matches. Yeah. If it's an Adam Cole versus a John Silver, if it's a, you know, they'll have someone who's clearly higher up in the hierarchy, they'll still have like a 5 to 10 minute match against someone.
Yeah, it'll be competitive.
Yeah, it would still be a competitive match. They'll get a bit of offense in. This was a couple of minutes, and Adam Cole won very convincingly, which I think normally, I don't know. I don't think I have a problem with this because I think it played into the promo he had afterwards.
Yeah. If there wasn't a promo, I would be very confused by this decision.
Yes. 100%, yeah. But the promo he did afterwards, I thought was really good. This is my Adam Cole. This is why Adam Cole is probably my favorite wrestler on the planet right now. This promo is exactly why I fell in love with Adam Cole. Just the ability to talk, have so much passion, not stumble on your words the whole time, and just like feel so natural with everything he's saying. Just be like, I don't care about Orange Cassidy. I don't care that I lost last week. None of that matters because my record is still 100%. This is a new Adam Cole. This is an Adam Cole that's going to take what he wants. I want the AEW world title. And I was like, I buy it. I'm willing.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
This is really good.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, Chugs.
I would have to believe that Hangman Page versus Adam Cole is the main event to the next pay-per-view.
I hope so. I think it's going to be Hangman versus Cole at Revolution.
Yeah, because like I looked at the rankings, and Adam Cole is second after Lance Archer. So like Lance Archer loses the death match next week, and then it's Adam Cole. Simple. Yeah. There you go.
I buy it. Yeah. And I like the fact that they reference him losing to Orange Cassidy. Granted, it's not on the record, but in the match where he lost against Orange Cassidy, it's fueled his character to do something more. And he's gone, no, I'm not going to take that lying down. I'm pissed off that I lost. So I'm going to go out and murder someone. And he did. He killed Evil Uno. It was great.
Yeah. Poor Evil Uno.
Yeah. Poor Evil Uno.
I was really expecting this to be like another PWG match, you know, like the John Silver match. And it was just not that.
Not at all. Just killed him, which I think worked with the promo combined afterwards. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
Then had Jade Cargill saying she's going to remain undefeated. Cool.
Cool.
Then had Sammy Guevara versus Isaiah Cassidy. I liked this match. This was good fun.
I thought this was a very good match.
Mm.
I thought it got a little crowded near the end. There's sure a little did. Too much happening. I want these open challenge matches to sell themselves. You know, I don't need extra bells and whistles, everything mm-hmm. going on around it. Just give me a good match.
Yeah. And it was a good match. There were some really good near falls, I thought, at some point. There was a point where Andrade caused a distraction. He came out onto the ramp with his entrance music. That distracted Sammy, gave Isaiah Cassidy some very good near falls off that, I thought. But Sammy eventually came back, hit the go to hell for the win. And then Darby Allin came out afterwards and saved Sammy Guevara from a beatdown. After, obviously, he's having the kind of feud with Andrade right now. But then afterwards, he kind of like hinted that he wanted the TNT title back. He was like hitting the belts that Sammy's got and kind of just iron him up a bit. Sure.
I don't buy all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that Darby Allin would come to the defense of Sammy Guevara.
No, I don't either.
You know, like when they had their little feud like 2 years ago, they were a pair of guys where I would kind of think that, like, oh, whenever they see each other, it's on site. Mm. You know, like they'll come back to each other over the years and they'll have more matches, and they probably still will. But just because they're both baby faces, like their characters are so opposite. One's a vlogger, one's like a grungy punk goth man. You know, I don't think that they would help each other. It's cool. I'm not buying the Andrade thing right now. I want to see Andrade wrestle more often because I don't care about any of this Hardy Family Office stuff. I haven't cared about like a single non-wrestling segment that Andrade's been in.
No, yeah. Which is a shame. Also, at one point, because Chris Jericho was on commentary, he was like, oh, should I go down? Should I go down and help Sammy? Should I? Oh, I don't know. And then he didn't. Like, good job, mate. And Darby came out after that.
Talking about like, oh, we're going to have a staff meeting or whatever it's called. Mandatory attendance next week. The Inner Circle. Like, the Inner Circle hasn't been seen together since like All Out. Or I guess Full Gear when they had the match. But like,
yeah.
When was the last time Jake Hager was on TV?
I don't know. What's he been up to?
Yeah. It's like this faction doesn't exist anymore.
No, not really. Yeah. I kind of hope they split up the Inner Circle, I'll be honest, with this.
Yeah, I'm kind of over it.
I'm well over it.
This was my thing. I used to have this argument with Louis. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Because he would always talk about how Santana and Ortiz aren't in a better spot, you know, having joined AEW and such mm-hmm. like that. I don't want to misquote him, but it was like complaining about their booking and everything. And my thought was that them just being associated with Chris Jericho gets them on TV more, gets them interacting mm-hmm. with the top star. You know, they can do trios matches, you can do whatever. And eventually, they'll get their run. Still waiting for the run.
Yeah.
This feels like a Jericho faction. It feels like Legacy, where Randy Orton was the one who was the star, and they never worked mm-hmm. to get Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase over. It's like, Sammy Guevara is kind of picked himself up here, but you know, still waiting for Santana and Ortiz.
Yep. It's a shame.
Yep.
We then had Layla Hirsch beating up Chris Statlander backstage.
What a chair shot.
That was nice.
She smoked her right in the back. I was like, hell yeah. I want big things for Layla Hirsch. I think she's really good.
I think Layla Hirsch is fantastic, yeah. I wanted to do more things. We then got a match that's been hyped up for quite some few weeks now. Mercedes Martinez versus Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
I thought this match was very good with a very bad finish.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I don't want to jump the gun and say bad. Because it's a anticlimactic or disappointing finish, let's say. Put it that way. Because they were having a good match. They were going back and forth. I thought Mercedes was putting on a really good performance as well. These two have fought quite a lot already, got good chemistry. But then they were brawling to the outside. And then Mercedes Martinez just grabbed a lead pipe and smacked Thunder Rosa over the head with it. DQ finished. Thunder Rosa wins, which is anticlimactic for sure. Didn't get a proper winner.
Yeah, certainly made a choice.
The thing is, okay, a DQ finish isn't inherently bad. We've seen AEW do DQ finishes correctly. We've seen it play into stories and all that stuff. And it was revealed after this in a backstage segment that Britt Baker was the one who brought in Mercedes Martinez, which I'm really confused on the dynamic of the thing, by the way, because you said Mark Sterling gave me the check, but don't you forget who signed it. It's like, wait,
why does Mark Sterling work for you? Mark Sterling is with Jade.
So Mark Sterling wrote the check, but you signed it. So then you helped Jade Cargill, but ultimately you were helping Britt Baker. Like the wires are too crossed for me, right? Yeah. But if that was the thing, she said she brought in Mercedes Martinez to take out Thunder Rosa, right? That's what she wanted. If the DQ finish had been Mercedes Martinez taking out Thunder Rosa, if it had been she'd injured her, you know, then I think I'd have been okay with it. If it had been revealed that, hey, paid you to take her out, you took her out, good job. But no, she was saying, like, you didn't take her out. You hit her once, finished the job. So, like, for me, that undermines the finish because you're given a DQ finish without the resolution of Mercedes Martinez doing her job. So it's... I'm not a huge fan of this finish, I'll be honest.
Just don't do DQs. Like, it's so hard to get a DQ right, you know? Mm-hmm. There's a far shorter list of ways to do a DQ right than to do a DQ wrong, which is like every way. Just don't. You've been doing great for 2 years. You don't need to do it. You can find another way.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, Why now we're going to do DQs in this match? I was excited for this match. Kind of disappointed now. Like, brought Rampage down a peg when I saw this finish.
And it's like, you know, afterwards the commentary team was saying, like, you know, oh, I think this is just only going to add to the grudge between these two. It's like, okay, so you want to do a rematch? Like, I'm less into the idea of the rematch now, honestly. Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't think it was the right choice. Yeah. We got a little video package for Serena Deeb. Then we got that backstage segment where Britt Baker was saying she was the one who brought in Mercedes Martinez. There's a little standoff between Mercedes Martinez and Jamie Hayter.
There's a Rampage match.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. And she tells her to finish the job, take out Thunder Rosa, which I guess is leading to a Rosa Baker match at some point.
I would think so. That could be maybe a Revolution match, maybe.
Got a month.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. And then we had the main event, which was Ricky Starks versus Jay Lethal for the FTW Championship. This was fun.
Great match.
Yeah. Great. It was real good. Both of them looked real good coming out of this, I thought. Jay Lethal hasn't really done all that much in AEW yet. I thought this was a very good, like, this is a good match for him to have on TV. Obviously, I know he has a huge history of great work, but on AEW TV, he's not done all that much yet. The finish of this match was sick.
Yeah.
It was such a good counter. Going for the lethal injection and just countered into the Rochambeau. Oh, it looks so smooth. If you've not seen it, go and see it, because it was just the smoothest transition into it. It was really good. Ricky Starks gets the win. Good stuff. Thumbs up all round.
Yeah. It's tough because I was kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt because they've earned it. Mm-hmm. And I was giving them time to tell this whole Dante Martin Team Taz thing.
Sure.
I feel like I'm waiting too long now.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like by now I need to hear a promo from Dante Martin.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't know what his deal is. He joined Team Taz and he betrayed him like 2 weeks later. And we never really got a follow up to that because Leo Rush is gone. And he's had like four different mentors. Like, I need this to focus up a little bit, you know? That's just that one aspect of it. When this match gets in the ring, I don't care about anything else. I just watched a good match. But it's like, I see Dante Martin. I was just like, what do you want? What's your goal here? What's the motivation? I need to know these things if I'm going to care about the character, because I really like Dante Martin. Great wrestler. I want to care about the character.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was a good match to end the show, though. It was... I don't know whether this was a 3 or a 4 out of 5 episode.
Yeah. Somewhere around there. The more I think about it, the more I think it's a 3.
Yeah. You know?
You had like a 3-minute match in the opener. And then you had a DQ in the women's match. Like, those are two, like, bringing down a point. 2 negative 1s, if you will. See, yeah. We're not biased.
Yeah, exactly. We say it like it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an okay episode of Rampage. 3 out of 5. Let's get into the rest of your... Nope. Before we get into the rest of your old chats, we have to say thank you to some very special people. Those are our $25 and above pledge hammers over on our Patreon page. If you haven't been to our Patreon yet, you really should, because the poll right now is up for WrestleTalk Extra for February. Currently in the lead, I believe, is No Way Out 2009.
Great show.
Which That's is the, really the Edge show,
yeah.
You might be familiar with. Of Edge losing the first Elimination Chamber, then forcing himself into the second one later in the night. Good show, that. Believe in second, though.
It's amazing.
Love yeah. But I believe in second place right now is No Way Out 2001. Ooh, so, you
also
know.
Also really good.
Yeah. So, go vote. And see if you guys want to see the WrestleTalk Extra show. Go vote. Also, if you pledge at the $25 or above tier, you get your own custom wrestling nickname, and it gets read out on a show. Much like this one. So thank you to Brandon. I just make the lists. Sires.
Yeah. Abominable Michael Abbott. Yeah.
The British Bulldog, Philip Boy J. Smith Jr.
Yeah. He's a sexy man, not an Andrew Gross man.
Yeah. Fantastic Mr. Good Old Fox.
Yeah. He's no jackass, Dano. Yeah.
The Roller Coaster, Robert Acosta. Yeah.
WrestleTalk's personal ring announcer, Rodrigo Benitez. Yeah.
Shield Maiden, the Zornice. Yeah.
Barbaric Garrick Morgan.
Yeah. Chris, the Cypriot Sensation Patru.
Yeah. And finally, Ronald Coleman, baby.
Yeah. Thank you so much, all of our pledge hammers. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here. Last chance to get those in at WrestleTalk.com/support. Get those in. We're going to read out all the ones that are $5 and up. By the time the show goes off the air, Vandalia1998 says, when Goldberg came back to face Roman, do you think they should have brought up the fact that Roman didn't face him the last time they had a challenge? I know it was because of the pandemic in reality, but it would have been a nice callback story-wise. They should have brought up the match didn't happen.
You could do that. You could do something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Bazo Banks said, I've got a bone to pick with this company. They had Becky, Bianca, and Charlotte Sasha right there, perfect for them, and willfully chose to do a Ronda-Charlotte match that no one asked for, and once again pushing aside a current talent for an outside name for what? And we know they're doing Becky-Ronda next year, so if Bianca beats Becky, she's probably dropping it back to Becky because they're going to want the title involved, even though it doesn't need to be, making everything before it pointless. God, I hate it here. Yeah.
You know... And all that, Ronda, Charlotte, Becky, who's getting over? What's the end result of this? Who's going to look better for all this? You go out of WrestleMania. Who wins, Ronda or Charlotte? I don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care. And then you go to the next year, it's Becky and Ronda, and I don't care again. God damn. Give me Becky or give me Ronda against Bianca or something.
Yeah.
You know?
That's something.
Put over a new star.
I'd like it.
Whatever.
Riot DR said, most of SmackDown feels like a weird time loop, Prince of Persia style, where only a few are aware of it. How in the world do we have Aliyah versus Natalya again, even if it is dungeon rules? She's lost in every way possible, sans KO. Also, Xia Li exists.
Yeah. I love that they were like, okay, you're going to have a no DQ match. She's like, a dungeon style match. Like, no. No DQ match. Not everything's about your basement.
Jack Nichols says, after getting the trademark for Gunther Stark, Vince looked down at his Survivor Series 98 Deadly Games pay-per-view mug and uttered, skulls? Bruce, are we the baddies? Hope you guys are well. What's your favorite Ron Harris match?
None of them. The Harris brothers are dicks. They're the ones with like the SS tattoos or something.
That's not great. Sure.
Yeah. Bad. Yeah. Don't get those tattoos, people.
Nope. Lord Flappington, great name, said, first timer, welcome to the time loop, lads. There is no escape. Seriously, though, it seems like WWE just repeats the same stuff that worked ages ago, see the fan backlash when they wanted something new, and then just do it again. The definition of insanity, much?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, the problem is, something like this will work one time. You'll get like a Daniel Bryan who gets over in spite of what you're doing to him. Mm-hmm. And then they'll be like, well, it works. The thing that we're doing works, not realizing it has nothing to do with them. Yeah, then they just keep booking all the baby faces to lose and look like idiots forever and ever. I'm just like, I don't understand why it's not working.
Yeah. Matthew Robinson said, I have a thought about the Rumble. I think Brock should have taken someone out to enter the Rumble like Becky did to enter her Rumble. What do you guys think? God bless you guys with all the Goldberg stuff. Yeah.
I mean, sure. Give me a reason why Cesaro wasn't in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, Cesaro was 30. But the thing is, though, that's such a heel move. If Brock came out and beat him up and he's supposed to be the babyface. I don't know, man.
Or you just put Cesaro in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Take out Madcap Moss. Have Brock kill him.
Yeah. Yeah. Have Madcap Moss at 30.
Yeah.
And have Brock kill him. That's fine.
Yeah.
Scent of a Wookiee said, Rampage is a great show and does exactly what it needs to, creating and developing multiple engaging storylines through great matches and nuanced segments. Making Martinez a part of the Baker-Rosa feud was a genius move that made the DQ finish make sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think we basically like gave our thoughts on all that.
Yeah,
but I agree that like most of the time Rampage is really good at just like developing things through little nuances and such.
Mm-hmm. Wilson Simon says, is Hangman the worst AEW world champion so far and how do they fix that?
This is not something I want to talk about and I've gotten away with it so far because Hangman doesn't wrestle on Rampage. What are they doing to my cowboy?
Not featuring him enough. That's what it is.
It's tough.
Yep. It's real rough.
I don't want to badmouth my cowboy, but yeah.
It's not his fault. He still does well whenever he comes out and does his segments and all that, and he's trying his hardest. He's just barely featured. He doesn't wrestle. He's barely featured. And when he is, it's like for 2-minute segments somewhere in the middle of the show, you know?
I understand that he's just gotten through with the whole Bryan Danielson thing, right? And that was like really good. There were a couple really good matches. There's not a lot of story there. And for like 3 years, the hook for Hangman Page was the story. Now I'm just kind of being asked to get into him as the guy, as opposed to what the story is that Hangman is involved in. Because like, again, doesn't have to be like week to week. Like he was feuding with Matt Hardy last year, you know, like he was feuding with Brian Cage. It doesn't all have to connect, but there was still the thread there. Like he was still drinking. He was still with the Dark Order. He was still developing that character. Now he's not even like with the Dark Order. Give me Dark Order segments backstage where Hangman Page is with them, stuff like that. I don't care about him facing Lance Archer. I'm sorry. You know, there's a lot of things interesting in AEW right now, like Jon Moxley, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, MJF. This isn't one of them. And for a long time, Hangman Page was like the number one most interesting thing to me about this company. Fix it, please.
Yep. I'm hoping that after the Archer thing is out of the way and we do get into Adam Cole, Adam Page, I think that's when they might care.
I agree.
And they might start featuring it a bit more. I hope so anyway.
Yeah. He's like he's the world champion in like the middle of the show.
Yeah.
It's like, here's the Hangman Page. So, I mean, he got put through a table. That's it. He doesn't feel like the star of the show.
Nah.
As I smack my computer.
Mayor of Painsville, Dan, said, hi, Pete and Tempest. Hope you're doing well. Let's talk about Legends Arceus. I was really skeptical about it, and it's much better on TV and in handheld mode. But in the end, it rules. I hope this gets a DLC because I need more. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I gotta set aside some time for some Pokemans.
Also, I'm just gonna show the people when you're on the lock screen and you unlock your Switch, if you press the right bumper button 3 times, it does a horn. It's the greatest. I love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love Legends Arceus. I'm gonna play it more after this probably. One more chat from Jedediah Steele, who's been a member for 6 months in a row. Thank you so much. He says, AEW has a problem with booking champions in general. Hangman is just the latest victim.
I don't know if I
agree
with that.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think, like, I was going to say that they're not very good at booking babyface champions, but I think Moxley was a good babyface champion. So, like,
yeah,
I don't think that's true.
Darby was a good TNT champion.
Yeah.
I think Cody was a good TNT champion the first time around.
Sure was.
Yeah, I don't know if I can agree with that.
Yeah. So I've got an email here from Ethan. We're still talking about Pokemon, who says, good time of day, LAW. So far in the new amazing Pokemon game, what is your favorite Hisui variant Pokemon? More importantly, who did you pick for the starter? Cyndaquil is the correct answer.
Cyndaquil.
Yeah. Regards, Ethan. Thank you very much, Ethan. Favorite Hisui variant? I guess not. I don't want to spoil you if you haven't seen them.
I haven't really seen any of them other than just ones that have been promoted and such and, you know, advertising and such.
I can't remember what's been advertised or not, because I think I saw the first trailer for the game and then didn't look at literally anything else.
Yeah. So. It's like, I know that there's like a Voltorb that looks weird. It appears to be made of wood.
Mm.
That's all I got.
I didn't even know that. I can't even remember seeing that.
Yeah, it looks like the Pokeballs that are in this game.
Oh, that's cool. I like it. Honestly, I'm really liking Typhlosion. And also Growlithe / Arcanine.
Right. Yeah.
Very good.
Fluffy boy.
Yeah. Very good. And I'm also liking the fact that there's a lot more evolutions in this one. Just straight evolutions. Not like,
that.
Yeah. I'm always a big fan of bringing back older Pokemon and giving them a proper evolution. Big fan. So yeah, that's me. Well, it literally said the first line of his email said, from Vacant. Screwed the pooch on that one, didn't I? Hey, on the audio podcast. Hey, Vinny, on the audio podcast bit of this, reckon you could just like edit that name out? Thanks, bud. But I guess for pledgehammers, you could hear it. From Vacant. Dear LIW, I heard you complain about drift on your Joy-Cons. Just wanted to let you know that Nintendo does offer free repair for them. Get them all fixed and save your $100. LIW for life. Can they coexist? Yes, of course we can.
Yeah, why wouldn't we coexist? We have no reason not to coexist.
Exactly, yeah.
We've only ever coexisted.
Exactly. Do they offer free? Do you have to like ship?
So it's like send it there's yourself? Something to it. It's not as simple a process as it sounds, I think.
No.
I've definitely looked into it before because like I've had, I think, 2 pairs that have just gone on me.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. Just make a better system.
It's very stupid, yeah. I am going to read out this one here. It's quite a long email, so I might have to cut it down a bit. But we've got one here from Misha. Talks about the Legend of Vox Machina, aka the greatest TV show to ever exist. Said, monopolizing the podcast outro and not caring in any way, because talking about good writing slash plotting slash pacing is balm for the soul after having to sit through WWE programming, which has none of those characteristics. So they say, so I'm a relative newcomer to Critical Role. Only got into it when I started playing in a campaign setting on Wildemount run by a DM who is a massive critter. Listened to a bit of campaign 2, but didn't have enough time for a full catch up before campaign 3 started, loving that though, and decided to leave campaign 1 untouched because I knew the series was coming. So I don't have the prior knowledge to spot the foreshadowing and references, they did the thing moments. But what I do have is 20 odd years playing tabletop role-playing games, and I can imagine the table conversations going on while events are transpiring. In my opinion, the beauty of the show is how well it captures the feeling of being an animated D&D campaign rather than an animated fantasy story, which is an impressive feat. I will never get over the fact that campaign 1 and 2 intro includes a reference to an entire party failing their perception checks, which is 100% on brand for the average group. The jam is back. LOW for life. Yada, yada, yada. Stay safe, both. Thanks. And then says, P.S. For balance, Tempest, you're not the only one completely left behind by modern Yu-Gi-Oh! I'd imported Toon World deck back in the day, but even Pegasus himself, I and all, would be going at you what, mate, at the current state of things. So what hope do us mere mortals have?
I've got some Toon monsters. Mm. They're in a little binder thingy over there.
Yep.
I never got all the way to making a deck with them, but yeah. It's just too complicated. I don't want to think that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a follow-up email that Misha has done about episodes 4 to 6, which came out yesterday, but I've only seen episode 4. I haven't seen episode 5 and 6 yet, so I'm not going to read it.
No spoilers.
No spoilers, but I watched episode 4. Always good though, isn't it? Ooh, real excited for the next lot. Can't wait for that. I'm thoroughly on board with all of the Vox Machina chat. If you guys watch Legend of Vox Machina, email me because I want to talk about it more, because it's great and I love it and it's the greatest thing ever. Also, you may notice I've got my championship now. Yay!
Yay! I managed
to pick it up from the office yesterday, which is great. So now I can actually be officially recognized as the Tribal Pete. That's nice. I will admit, genuinely, characters aside and everything, I just like having the title. It's my baby.
Yeah, you worked hard on it. You're allowed to pose with it, do whatever you want with it, sleep with it.
I had to do a, for various promotional things, so for social media pictures, for graphics, for any sort of pictures or graphics or anything we make. I had to do a little photo shoot with the belt, doing all manner of poses. So it was literally as I just recorded the news this morning, I just kept the setup up and then just posed a bunch with the belt. I did feel like a proper idiot, but I think I got some good shots out of it. It's just weird having to just kind of pose for a bit with no one there to direct me or anything. It's just me standing there on a green screen, just going, yeah, I got a belt. Look at me go. And it was weird.
I got a belt. Look at me go.
Yes, exactly that, actually. Yeah, funnily enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have nothing else to talk about. No, I have one more thing to talk about, actually.
Oh.
And that's something that's very exciting, Tempest, is that I'm probably going to be, maybe not anytime soon just yet, going to be running a little D&D one-shot, and someone else that's in this chat right now might be playing in it. Tempest.
First little foray. I have no idea how to do anything. I'm going to be so lost, but
it's going to be great. I'll guide you. Fair not. It's going to be good.
I'm going to come up with some crazy ideas.
Just bear in mind, it's going to be a one shot. So all like the backstory and all that stuff, probably not going to come out that much because it's one shot. But you're going to have some fun ideas for a character, though.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. I like to be mysterious. You don't need to know my backstory.
That's fine. That's all good for a one shot. That's all you need. So yeah, we might be doing. Might be getting some updates once we made Tempest's character. We might be having some updates when the one shot's happening and all that stuff. Oh my god, all that stuff. So yeah, stay tuned for a little D&D update featuring LAW. It's gonna be a good time. Anyway, that's gonna do it. This episode of the Rest Talk podcast. Yeah, Sorry about us getting angry about SmackDown, probably. It was a bad show. Yeah. So we'll be back soon with what we got next week. It's not next week, is it? No, it's week after is the Saudi show. So next week's just going to be all the week leading into the go-home week. So we just got the regular-ass content with Raw and NXT and Dynamite and the Friday show and SmackDown and Rampage again. So stay tuned. Thank you very much for listening.
We're making ass content.
We are making regular-ass content. That's exactly right.
Regular-ass content.
I am an ass man. Bow, bow.
Bow, bow.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Really do appreciate it. We love you very much. Stay safe. And goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.